Jesus' name, amen. The book of 2 Timothy is a book, as we've been seeing on Sunday mornings, that is written to encourage us. It is a book that was written to help us to deal with life, help us to finish strong. You know, when you're younger, you don't think about finishing strong unless you're in athletics or something like that. And when you're older, sometimes you don't feel like finishing strong, but I want you to know, whatever your age is, you got to think about finishing strong. You got to think about continually moving ahead for God, continually doing what God wants you to do. And we have been looking with our key verse in chapter 1 and verse 7 about rekindling the fire, rekindling God's energy and God's spirit within you, and working with energy and living life with energy and not turning to some of the things this world turns to try to face the difficulties and the problems of this world. And understanding that God has more to offer than anything this world has to offer. When we turn to God's strength, when we turn to God's help, then it will help us to be able to live in this life. And over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at some of the things that we need to do that will help us, that will give us the energy to face this world. But, you know, as we think about that, is not only learning how to have energy, not only learning about the things we should do, but it's also learning about the things that we shouldn't do. It's also realizing that there are some things in life that will sap your energy. Some things in life that will just suck all the energy out of you, and that those things we need to avoid. In this passage, Paul mentions one specific thing. I was a Boy Scout for a number of years and built many different fires. And then I was a camp counselor. And while I was a camp counselor, I built many different fires. And since then, whenever we go to Connie's parents, they have a fireplace. And one of the things I like to do is go build a fire. But you know, as bright or as dumb, depending on your viewpoint, you might think I am, I have learned one pretty simple lesson. That if you build a fire, no matter how good that fire is, if you take a bucket of water and you pour it on the fire, it'll go out. Pretty simple rule, pretty simple thing. That pouring water on a fire puts a fire out. Same is true in our Christian lives. There are things that just can sap the energy right out of us, that can just take the fire maybe that you had in you and just pull it right out. And I want to mention one that Paul mentions in this passage. In fact, it's such an important one, Paul mentions it three times in this passage. It's kind of saying, look, you got to get this. Because if you get involved in this, you are going to just sap the life out of yourself. And I think as we see, you'll say, yep, that doesn't my life. Look at this passage with me. Before we get into it, I want to point it out. Verse 14. It says, remind them of these things, warn them before God against quarreling about words. Notice that phrase, warn them before God against quarreling about words. Go down to verse 16. Avoid godless chatter. Avoid godless chatter. Go down to verse 23. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. So we see in all three of these phrases that basically Paul is talking about the very same thing. He's talking about arguing and quarreling. And he says if you argue and you quarrel, it is just going to sap the energy right out of you. If you get in arguments, word battles, word fights, it's just going to sap the energy out of you. You ever wake up, you know, you go to work, you're having a great day, things are going along really well, and then your boss comes over to you and you get in an argument. And it's just like everything's drained out of you. Or maybe you go to work and you have a great day and everything is going well, you accomplish a whole bunch of things, and you walk in the door and you and your spouse get into a battle. And it never happened in my family, but maybe as parents, you got in arguments with your kids. Why'd you laugh? Arguing saps the strength out of you. It just saps the energy out of you. I want you to notice in these three phrases, these three statements, Paul is talking about the very same thing. So let's look at it this morning. Point number one. Shun quarreling about words because it produces nothing but ruin. Shun quarreling about words because it produces nothing but ruin. Notice in verse 14 and 15, Paul begins with, in verse 14, keep reminding them of these things. And we saw that over the last 2 weeks, if you were here, that Paul had told Timothy how he can build up the energy, how he can keep going in this world, how he can keep getting back up, how he could be the energizer bunny. And he says to Timothy here, right after he says all those things, he says, look, you know what? You need to keep reminding them that. You know, you and I have a problem. Some of us have it more than others, but we do have a problem. We forget. And because we forget, Paul says, look, you need to keep reminding them because they're going to forget. Part of a pastor's job is to preach sometimes the very same thing over and over and over. But hopefully do so in a way that you don't get bored. But we need to keep being reminded. Reminds me of the story I heard of the man who went to the psychiatrist. He's having problems, and he said, Doc, I'm just really having great problems. Psychiatrist said to him, tell me, what is the problem? And the man replied, what problem? We have problems of forgetting things. So he says, keep reminding them that we have a responsibility before God to finish the race. You know, all of us at one time or another feel like kind of chucking it in, giving up and quitting. Things happen in life that are difficult. Things happen in life that are rotten and terrible. And we just want to give up. We want to quit the race. We want to just, say, that's it. I've had enough. I'm gone. Paul says to Timothy, keep reminding them so they don't quit. And he talked about that back in chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 13, some of the things that we need to be reminded of. And then he goes on, he says, warn them against quarreling about words. Warn them against quarreling about words. The word quarrel means to argue. To argue over meaningless issues, to argue over the use of words, to quarrel about words, to argue over even sometimes important issues, but we argue over them. Question that's been asked, exactly what did Paul mean when he says quarreling about words? And we don't really have an answer. Best I can say is that it was over false teaching, as we'll see in a minute, over things that contradicted the Bible. But I want you to know, we can argue over some things that are even in the Bible and get in debates about things that we're not going to have answer to this side of heaven. Paul says, look, it's of no value. When you get in arguments and you get in quarrels, there's nothing good that comes from it. There's no value from it. The word value here can be translated, it is not helpful. It is of no help, of no use. It only brings ruin. Notice that word down in verse 14. It only ruins those who listen. The word ruin literally means to turn upside down. It's a word that we get our English word catastrophe. It is a word used of overthrowing and destroying cities. He says when we argue and we quarrel about words, we don't have nothing of value ends up happening. All it does is cause catastrophe in lives. And when we look at that within context, he's talking about something that could just sap the energy right out of us. So what should we spend our time doing instead of arguing and fighting and quarreling? Notice verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Instead of fighting and arguing, even with false teachers, even with those who maybe are of a different religion or a different denomination, don't get involved in argues and fights. Spend your time digging into the Word of God, learning how to handle God's Word so that you can correctly divide or correctly handle the Word of truth. We are to be busy expending our energy on seeking God's approval, not quarreling and fighting. Unfortunately, the King James Version, if you have it this morning, says study to show yourself. The idea is not study. The idea is to make haste. The idea is to be zealous. The idea is to put all your energy into something, to put energy towards something. Instead of putting all your energy in fighting and quarreling about issues and things, put your energy in seeking to be approved by God. Doing what God wants you to do, understanding His Word, being able to handle His Word. So that will be approved instead of being ashamed, feeling disgrace. This word correctly handled means to cut straight, to give accurate instruction, to teach correctly, to expound correctly. It is the idea of, as it says here, to correctly handle the Word of God. You know, there are some people that just love to argue. They just love to fight. Now, I love a good debate. Paul's not saying we should never debate issues. We should never look into truth. We should never, you know, have serious debates. But he says, look, when it gets down to quarreling and arguing, there's no value. And all it does is suck out all your energy. And 2 Timothy is all about teaching us how to have that energy, how to be, as I said, the Energizer Bunny, and keep going in this life. If you want to argue and debate, don't call me on the phone. You know, if you want to quarrel, don't call me on the phone. If you have questions, you want to debate, you want to have answers to issues, we'll talk, we'll discuss them. If you want to talk, you know, issues, I'd be glad to do that, but I'm just not into fighting. Just not into arguing. Unless I get Simon on the mat and have to show him. But, fighting and arguing about words and quarreling over things, all it's going to do is suck out your energy. It's just going to sap any energy that was within you. And as hard as this world is to live in, you don't need that on top of it. I just want you to know, I'm just not going to get in fights with people over the Pope. I'm not going to get in fights with people over Calvinism. I'm just not going to get in fights with people over a whole bunch of issues you can imagine, because all it's going to do is suck out your energy. Paul says, don't do that. Spend time digging into the Word of God. Spend time learning from God's Word, because when you do that, you know what? It doesn't do anybody any good. And all it really does is cause catastrophe. As I often say, that church that got in an argument over the color of their carpet and decided that right down the middle of their auditorium, half would be red and half would be blue. It just doesn't make any sense. I want you to notice, secondly, beginning in verse 16, he says, avoid godless chatter. Avoid godless chatter because it produces progressive ungodliness. Now, what I'd like you to notice is in verse 16, the godless chatter is the same as the quarreling about words. Godless means wordly words, or words that are not righteous, words that are not godly. They're godless. Chatter is speech that is foolish, empty talk. Again, the same thing as verse 14. It's talking about false teaching in general. In particular, we don't know what Paul's simply saying, though, is avoid it. Avoid getting arguments and quarreling about things that just cause those who indulge it to become more ungodly. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it become more and more ungodly. He says down in the end or beginning of verse 17, their teaching will spread like gangrene. You know what gangrene is. That is that thing that happens in a person's body when an infection gets so bad it begins to eat away at the body and it begins to spread. The word that is used here for gangrene literally has the idea that it is a pasture for gangrene. It is a place where gangrene can thrive and where it can spread rapidly and where it can grow rapidly. In other words, if you argue, there are some things that if you just bring to the surface and you argue about and you debate about them and you just, you know, kind of fight over them, all it does is cause them to spread even more. I've watched what I consider to be some very, very wise people. And sometimes those wise people would be attacked and things would be said about them and, you know, all kinds of garbage and questionable issues would be raised about them. And I've seen sometimes how they don't even reply to it. They don't even discuss it. They just let the attack happen and they just let it die. Why did they do that? Sometimes you're kind of sitting on the sideline and saying, tell the truth, and you'll respond to it, say something, and they don't. The reason is sometimes you just bring it more to the surface, you bring it more to the top, the more you discuss it, the more you argue about it, the more you debate about it. When you get into these godless arguments, these godless debates, this godless quarreling about words that have nothing to do with the issues of growth, the issues of Christianity, all that happens is that you become more and more ungodly and you just spread it. Paul says, don't do it. He says, avoid it. Stay clear from it. And then he gives us an example. Notice verse 17. An example of this would be in the middle of verse 17, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some. They say the resurrection has already taken place and by that they're destroying the faith of some. So these two guys become an example. We don't know a whole lot about these guys except that Hymenaeus was mentioned in 1 Timothy. Philetus is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. But they were telling Christians, look, the resurrection has already happened. In those days, the Greek background, philosophical background, said that if something was physical, it was wrong, and if it was spiritual, it was good. So it appears to be that there were some who had gotten in the church that were saying, very possibly, you know what? The resurrection is not something that's physical, it's something that's spiritual. And they may have said something like, when you get saved or when you get baptized, you spiritually rise with Christ, which is talking about elsewhere in the Bible, our identification with Jesus Christ, but that there will not be someday, one day, a physical resurrection from this world. These men were saying, look, the resurrection already took place. Now think about that for a moment. If you take the resurrection outside of Christianity, if you say that the resurrection didn't occur, that it never happened, that it's not going to happen, then what you really do is you cut the heart out of Christianity. The hope of the Christian is that one day we will spend an eternity with God. The hope of the Christian is that once this life is over, I have something to look forward to. The hope of the Christian is that after I deal with all the problems in this world, after I deal with all the diseases and illness and the sinfulness and the wickedness of people, that when all this is over, I shall spend an eternity with God. That's our hope. But if you say it already occurred and it's not going to happen in the future, I have nothing to look forward to. Paul says this is an example of godless chatter. To get involved in an issue that is not biblically true, to get involved in an issue that basically we could just label as false teaching and just go over it and over and over it and argue about it and quarrel about it, all it's going to do is sap the energy right out of you. He says, don't do it because all it will do is cause you to become more and more ungodly and it will just make it spread even more. And there's something we need to understand. Notice verse 20. Thing we need to realize... I'm sorry, verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. He says we need to understand, even though there are some who are wandering away from the truth, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, and even causing others to walk away, we might begin to question who is a believer and who isn't a believer, who is a Christian and who isn't a Christian. Do you know that salvation, going to heaven, having a relationship with God, becoming part of God's family, isn't just about knowing God, it's about God knowing you. And you can mark this down, that God's foundation is solid, it is firm. Reference either the Word of God or the church itself. It is solid, it's firm, even though some may wander away, it is solid, it's firm, and it has this label going across it, this seal going across it. God knows those who are His, and everyone who knows God must turn away from wickedness. You know, one day there are going to be people that stand before God at the judgment, and they are basically going to say, if I can paraphrase Jesus' words in Matthew 7, I know you, Lord. I have driven out demons in your name. I have performed miracles in your name. I have preached in your name. And Jesus is going to turn back to them and say, look, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. There are going to be people who get to heaven. They're going to say, hey, God, I went to church all the time. I know you. God's going to say, I don't know you. See, there's only one way to become known by God and to know God. And that's by placing our faith, our trust, our life in the hands of God and what God did for us when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. It is more than just having head knowledge of knowing that Jesus is the Savior. It is asking Jesus to become your Savior because you believe that when He died on the cross, He died for your sin. And it's calling upon Him to become your Savior. Putting all your trust, all your destiny in His hands. Now, if you do that, the Bible says then you become known by God. And not only that, when you do that, the Bible says you have to turn away from wickedness. Have you ever noticed that everybody wants to claim to be a Christian? Except for the terrorists. Everybody says, yeah, I'm a Christian. You take a tally, you take an opinion poll of people in America, and everyone says, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm born again. Bible says if you name Jesus Christ as your Savior, turn away from wickedness. Seal of God on the Christian is that they turn from wickedness and they turn to Him. They repent of their sin, they turn towards God. You can't have God in your sin too. Some people want to have just enough of God so they could go to heaven, but still enough of the world so they could have a whole lot of fun. But I want you to know, if you have enough of God, you'll have a whole lot more fun because it'll be a real relationship with Jesus Christ. If you name the name of God, God's word is clear, then turn away from sin. Turn away from wickedness. Turn away from everything that you know that God says is wrong, that God says don't do it. Turn away from it. You don't need to read a 500-page book on how to live life. You don't need to go to see 36 psychiatrists. The Bible makes it clear. If you want to live for God, you want to be known by God and call on God's name, turn away from sin. Turn away from wickedness. Turn away from unrighteousness. Begin to follow God. These two men would be an example that we need to do that. That we need to turn from sin and turn towards God. The word turn away from literally means stand off. Stand off from it. Turn towards God. In fact, I want you to notice down in verse 20 and 21, not only should we turn away from wickedness, but notice it says in verse 20 and 21, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. There are some for noble purpose and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes made holy and useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. So if you want to be prepared and ready and useful to God, then you have to cleanse yourself from those ignoble vessels. He already talked about cleansing yourself from wickedness. Now he's talking about relationships. Have you ever noticed in a house, if you see dishes, maybe not in every house, but most homes, especially if people have been married a while, they probably have three kinds of plates. They got paper plates. Most of us have paper plates. And then we got everyday plates, right, that we use every day. And then we got crazy thing called China. You know, China's that stuff that's supposed to be expensive, but some of it's kind of fake China, so it just looks like it is. But, you know, that's the plates that you never use, except for special times. And they sit in the cupboard and they get dusty, so at the special times you can dust them off and then use them. You know, within the church, there's two kinds of people. Just like in the home, there's two kinds of vessels. There are those who are seeking to serve God and trying to do what is right and turning away from wickedness and trying to grow in the Lord. And then there is a whole other group that's kind of faking it. It's not real. They're just going through the motions. But they're in the church. I would label them as hypocrites. If you get around them, their life is quite different during the week than it is on Sunday. They play the game on Sunday, but they live differently during the week. What Paul is saying here is saying, look, when you get involved in arguments and quarrels, especially over issues of false teaching, and you just keep rising those to the level where you're constantly quarreling and arguing, you need to turn away from that. Not only turn away from that, you need to turn away from them. Turn away from those who want to argue and quarrel all the time. They're just going to continually sap your energy. You know, there are some people, when they turn the corner, that's time for you to turn the corner. There are just some people that if you get around them too much, they're just going to keep draining you. Especially those who want to argue and quarrel about issues. Sometimes it's said they're important, but most of the time it's issues that aren't important. How many angels can stand on the head of a needle? They just want to keep going over and over and over the same thing, and it just brings you down to more ungodliness, brings you down to, you know, catastrophe, as we saw, and ruin. It doesn't do anything helpful. Turn away from them. Get around people that build your energy. Get around people that help you to live in this life. Get around people that help you grow and become one yourself. Become the kind of person that when people are around you, you help them to live life and you don't tear them down. Don't be that energy sapper. Don't be that person that just is bringing everybody's energy down. Be the kind of person that helps people to grow. Be the gold and the silver, not the wood and the clay. Help people to grow in their faith in Christ. Help people to become more godly. Help people to become more like Christ. Well, you notice he says again the same thing in a third way. Go down with me to the next verse. Down in verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Because you know they only produce, or you know they produce quarrels. Verse 22, he says, look, flee ungodliness. Flee ungodliness and pursue righteousness. Just talking about turning away from wickedness, turning away from those who are wicked, turn away from those who want to fight and quarrel, and then run after, pursue, steadily pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Not only includes moral issues, but in the context, it probably includes pride and being argumentative and having hot-headed answers. And then the third thing is, he says, stay away from foolish and stupid arguments because it produces more quarreling. Stay away from foolish and stupid arguments. All it does is produce more quarreling. You know, when I was younger, and I know I'm getting older, not because my daughter's getting married. Because although I have black hair, and you may not be able to tell as well as I can, it's getting thinner up on top. And I know I'm getting older because Connie's getting older, so that must mean I'm getting older. But I've noticed something as I get older. You know what I've noticed as I get older? There's just some things I don't argue about anymore. You know what? Because I've learned they're just foolish. They're just stupid arguments. And all it's going to do is sap my energy and sap their energy. And we're going to spend all our energy on arguing and fighting over a thing that does nothing. It's stupid. It's foolish. The word stupid that is used here refers to ignorant or uneducated. An argument is a debate over a debate that argues. It's not just discussing issues, it's arguing over the issues. Word foolish means godless, kind of like the word we saw before it, foolish. It's the word from which we get moron. Foolish and stupid arguments. They only produce what? They don't produce anything of value, as we saw back in verse 14. They don't make people more godly, as we saw in verse 16. What do? All they do is produce more quarreling. In other words, if you're talking with people about an issue and you begin arguing about the issue and all it does is cause you to argue more, that's the kind of argument Paul's talking about. The word is used in a literal sense of physical combat, of a conflict, of a battle with weapons. But when it's used in this way of words, it talks about disputes or quarrels or strife, battling over words, dumb, stupid arguments that get us nowhere except into more arguing. One must recognize the worth of a debate or the worth of discussing an issue and then realize there's sometimes and it's best just not even to get into it. Because all we're going to do is argue more. Can't tell you how many times I've been in conversations with people and someone will say something and then you'll sit back and say, I wonder why they didn't respond to that. Maybe you'll talk to them about it later and you'll say, well, why didn't you respond to that? Well, because I know it only created more of an argument. And if your debate is only going to cause more arguing and isn't going to accomplish anything, Paul says, stay away from it. It's no value. Stupid and moronic. And does nobody any good. And I want you to notice that believers are to seek converts and not conquests. It's not how many verbal battles you win. It's not how many debates you can kind of come out on the other end and say, see, I got the final word. But it's about changing hearts and lives and helping people to become more like Jesus Christ. Notice with me in verse 24. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Why? Because they produce more quarrels. And what is true? The Lord's servant, he shouldn't quarrel. He must not quarrel. Don't quarrel. What should he do? Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. See, the goal is not to win a debate. The goal is to win a heart. And I have never, ever, ever seen quarreling and arguing win a heart. All I've ever seen it do is produce more quarreling and arguing. He says, be gentle. Be gentle. Not resentful. Be gentle when you talk to those who oppose you, those who stand against you. So, you know, whether it's at work, whether it's in church, whether you're at home in your family, you know, someone standing opposed to you, be gentle. Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Be gentle. Discuss the issue, debate an issue, but don't argue, don't fight, don't quarrel. Don't be resentful. To be resentful simply means you're being impatient. Don't be resentful. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Stay away from the quarrel, even when you're staying opposed. And notice, I want you to notice in this case, it's talking about being opposed by a false teacher. Paul even says, look, be gentle. Don't fight. Don't quarrel. Don't argue. Be gentle. Why? Because the goal is a convert, not a conquest. Notice he says, here in the hope
The hope is that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. The hope is, as you are speaking kindly and gently, not arguing and not fighting, then their heart might be turned towards God and they'll repent of their sin. Their heart might turn towards God and they'll repent of their sin. He says it another way in verse 26. And that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You might ask, what part can Satan play in our life? Well, he can come in our life and he can set a trap for us, just like a mouse trap. And in setting that trap, he hopes you come in and you take the bait and he gets you off track. And then he's got you captive because you're stuck in the bait, and now he can get you to do what he wants you to do instead of you doing what God wants you to do. That is his hope. So if he can get us Christians to argue and fight over things that are only going to create more arguing, create more fighting, and we get so caught up in those things, we get busy doing those things instead of doing the things we should be doing, then Satan has won. Satan can get you arguing as a husband and wife and fighting as a husband and wife instead of doing the things you should be doing, then all he's doing is pulling the two of you apart instead of being busy doing the things you should be doing. So we might ask this morning three simple questions. Three simple questions to apply. How do I know when I should stop? How do I know when I get into a debate? How do I know when to stop? Or how do I know maybe even just to avoid it altogether? Three simple questions. Question number one, is this debate doing good or causing harm? You know, is it doing any good? Or all we're doing is causing harm? You know, sometimes you get in a debate and it seems like you're saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And maybe the other person's not getting it, or maybe you're the one not getting it, but you're just kind of repeating yourselves. It's not doing any good. Stop. Question number two. Is this debate helping people to become more godly or less? And some of the things I see Christians arguing over, and not just with other Christians, but even with people who aren't Christians, just makes no sense to me. It's not helping people become more like Christ. It's only causing people to become more ungodly and to turn away from God. And the third one, is this debate only causing more and more quarreling? Is this debate only causing more and more quarreling? Now again, the issue here is that of false teaching. But think about it, husband and wives. If you are in a debate, I can think of a few. I will not say them. You can insert, fill in the line. If you are in a debate with your spouse, and you sit back and say, wait a minute, are we getting anywhere? Or are we just arguing more? Drop it. Those of you who love to delve into theology and, you know, getting all these debates and you're kind of going through, let me ask you, what value is coming from it? Now, if you're just discussing it and debating the issue without arguing and fighting, I could see some great value in some debates and some issues. But if all we do is, you know, get down to arguing and quarreling and fighting and we're not getting any further, where's the value? If all we do is sit around and discuss and we don't get busy digging into God's Word ourselves, get busy living the Christian life, and the end result is we're not doing what God wants to do, instead we're falling into the devil's trap. What are you really accomplishing? See, when you start fighting and quarreling and arguing about things, all it does is suck the energy out of you. As quick as anything in this world could possibly do. The goal is to finish strong. Beware of that. That might sap your energy. Let's pray.